Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good morning, VBF family and all of you people online. Welcome Vegas today. Las Vegas is joining us. We love you, Vegas, and we miss you. Can't wait to see you again. When things get back to normal, I'll be back over there. And again, I want to say to all of the people watching online that we are honored that you would watch us. We know you have a lot of people to choose from, and you've chosen to watch us today, and it means a lot to us. Well, I struggled over today's sermon, more so than usual. I asked Debbie this week, I said, Debbie, pray with me. I've got to know what to preach on Sunday. I was debating on continuing our series on hearing God and maybe not doing that and addressing the situation, how it's getting totally out of hand in our country today. And I was just struggling. God, do I continue with hearing the voice of the Lord? Or God, do I address the issue today of what we're facing in this country? And I'm almost hesitant to tell you what I'm fixing to tell you right now. But it's what happens. It's the way I live my life. Real quickly, I want you to do me a favor and just hear me out. I have Fire Starters, the book that I wrote that has a daily prayer for every day of the week. And I don't read it all the time. I probably read it once every week or so. But I do keep up with the days from January 1st until now because I feel like that's the way I'm supposed to read it. Now, in January, we had 31 days. In February, we had 29 days. In March, we had 31 days. April, we had 30 days. May, we had 31 days. That's a total of 152 days. Now, on Wednesday, June 3rd, I was praying, God, what should I preach on? Should I preach on hearing God's voice or should I address the issues that's facing our country today? And so I was praying, and so 152 days in January, February, March, April, May, and then June 3rd, of course, you would add another 3 days. So it comes up to 155 days. So this is what I did. I told Debbie, I said, I'm going to go read Fire Starters and see if it gives me any clue what I should preach on. And so day 155, that would be the day's devotion for Wednesday. And so I think, well, let's see what Firestarter says. And I go to day 155, which was the daily devotion for Wednesday. And here's what it said. Lord, cause me to understand that there are many ways I can hear your voice. You're speaking when I'm convicted about things. You're speaking to me every time I hear an anointed sermon. You're speaking to me every time I read your word. And you're speaking to me when I listen to worship music. Today, please help me to hear what you're saying to me. Amen. And then the verse for the day, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. I went, oh my goodness. Now, you can say, Ron, that's the devil. Well, I don't think so. You say it's a coincidence. Oh, it's possible. It's possible. I mean, you be the judge. That's what happened. And so I'm preaching on hearing God's voice today. Now, let me say before I begin that what's going on in our country right now is absolutely horrible. I have never seen a season like this season. I mean, there is so much hatred and there's so much injustice and dissension and disunity. I mean, it's just horrible. I see people on the internet and they're judging one another and they're spitting out this hatred and venom for one another. And the Democrats hate the Republicans. The Republicans hate the Democrats. And people are talking bad about the president. The president's talking bad about people. I mean, I've never seen a day like this. Now, The Lord knows we need an answer to this problem. Protesting and making our voices heard, that might help. Restructuring our law enforcement agencies and our justice system, our political system, that might equally help. But the only thing I'm convinced that will change our country is turning back to God. The only thing that's going to fix our country is a change of our hearts, and God changes hearts. And so tonight, instead of the drive-in church, we're asking you to bring your lawn chairs. We're going to space you with social distancing out on the front lawn. We're going to pray for revival in our country. We're going to pray that God sends revival, and it starts right here at VBF. I mean, it can start here. And we're going to pray over that tonight. I'm not going to do the God stories. I'm going to change the God stories to Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. And if you want to come, do an RSVP. It wasn't conducive for me doing the God stories outside. I did it last week, and it just wasn't conducive to what I was trying to do. And so tonight, we're going to pray for revival. Now, I'm sorry, we're not streaming it. We don't have the capability of streaming outside. And 99% of you who are listening to me, you won't be able to be a part of that tonight, at least physically being here, you won't. So pray along with us, and let's pray for revival to start in Las Vegas. Let's pray for revival to start here. And I'll talk more about revival is. You'll hear me talking about that in the next few weeks probably. But today we're going to talk about hearing God's voice. Now again, I've said it, and I'll say it again. I don't know of anything much more important than a believer learning to hear the voice of God. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that comes out of the mouth of God. And a rhema is God's spoken word to us, his personal word to us. So just as we have to have 3 meals a day to stay physically healthy, we're going to need to hear God continually. It's really important. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing a word from the Lord. Faith is a substance that helps us get through things. Faith is a substance that we live by, but faith comes from us hearing God speak to us. And then, of course, we've been going over the verses the last few weeks that my sheep hear my voice. It proves that you're a child of God. All my sheep, they hear my voice, God says, and they follow me. And so this is so important. And if you want to hear more, go back to the last 2 weeks before this Sunday. It's just a series of at least 3 or 4 messages. Now, let's move on today, and let's get our mind off of the mess out there, and let's get our mind on what God's trying to teach us. Let me begin by saying that there are many things in life that you don't have to hear God on. I mean, for example, if you're going to God and saying, God, I've got to hear you today. Do I buy a Ford or a Chevy? I think God's answer to that prayer is going to be, whatever, son, whatever, daughter. It doesn't really make any difference to me. You can choose a Ford or a Chevy. God, I have to hear your voice. Should I get a miniature Dachshund or a Rottweiler? And God says, whatever you want. That's up to you. I mean, we can get ridiculous with this, but there are many things where I think God says, it's up to you. Lord, should I go on vacation this year to Hawaii or Disney World? Well, they probably cost the same, but I think God says, what do you want to do? God gives us a lot of leeway. He gives us a lot of, you know, choices in life. And he says, that's up to you. So we don't have to hear God on every single issue, but we do need to hear God. Now, many of us need to do, at least to start in this journey of hearing God's voice, is start obeying his written word. I mean, that's a start. You can hear God through the written word. In other words, you know, if you go to God and say, God, I need to hear your voice. Should I share the gospel with my neighbor? Well, you don't need to ask God to tell you that because it's already in the word. It's written that you're to share the gospel, that you're to go out and make disciples. So you don't have to ask God about that. If it's in the written word, you don't need to ask God to speak to you. For example, God, should I forgive my spouse? Well, it's in the written word that you forgive everyone, 70 times 7 if necessary. God, should I sue my neighbor? Well, the word says you shouldn't sue your neighbor. So you don't have to ask God to talk to you about that. Should I give to my church? The word says it already you're to give to the church. Should I marry a non-believer? The word says not to be unequally yoked with non-believers. You don't have to ask God about that. Should I submit to my elders? Should I divorce my spouse? The word is written. God has already spoken about those things. You don't need to ask him. Now, as I said a couple weeks ago, though, there are a lot of issues in life that we can't find an answer for in the written word of God. And I'll go back to what I said a couple weeks ago. God, should I say yes to the proposal of marriage that this person has offered me? Should I say yes or no? Should I marry this person or not? You're not going to find an answer to that in the written word. Lord, should I take that job in Seattle or should I stay here at this job? You're not going to find an answer for that in the written word. Should I move? Should I not move? Should I do chemotherapy or should I attack this cancer in a very natural, organic way? You're not going to find that in the word of God. Should I have another child? I mean, I could go on and on with a list. Are these things important to God? Yes, they're important to God. It's important to God that we get these right. And so that's when we come to him and say, talk to me, confirm your will for my life. Remember, we're an advertisement for God and the kingdom of God, and God cares about us and loves us. So those things are really, really important for him as well as us. And so he says, according to those things, I will speak to you. Look at James 1 and 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we're to go to God when we need to make decisions in life and say, God, speak to me, lead me by your spirit or by the written word either, but I need to hear your voice. Now in the Old Testament, God spoke to his people. He spoke to them through angels. He spoke to his people through visions, through dreams. One time he used a donkey to speak to his people, a burning bush. He spoke to Moses through a burning bush. There was the Urim and Thummim that I've talked about before that the priests had in the Old Testament, and God would speak to the kings before they went to war and before they made big decisions through the Urim and the Thummim. The point is God always has spoken to his people. In the New Testament, let me just kind of paraphrase a few verses. In Acts 8:29, it says, the Spirit said to Philip. In Acts 9 and 4, it says, he fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him. In Acts 9 and 10, it says, the Lord said to him in a vision. In Acts 10:13, a voice came to him and said. In Acts 10:19, as Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him. In Acts 11 and 7, I heard a voice saying to me. In Acts 11 and 12, and the Spirit told me to go with them. In Acts 11, 28, Agabus stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit of God that there was going to be a famine. In Acts 13 and 2, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. And I could go on and on and on. In the last 3 weeks or 2 weeks previous to this, I've given you a lot of verses about hearing God's voice. Now, let me get real practical with you here today. And real quickly, let me give you 6 prerequisites for hearing the voice of the Lord. And the first one is, we must see a need. We must see a need to hear God's voice. Now, to me, that's a no-brainer. If you want a happy marriage, if you want to be successful in ministry, if you want to do God's will on this earth, you're going to need to hear his voice. Number 2, you must be childlike in faith. See, some of us need to pray, God, grow me down instead of grow me up. There's a part of us that needs to become very childlike when we approach God and go to God and say, God, I need to hear you today. I believe you will speak to me. And then be very, very open. Number 3, we must not care about what other people think. I addressed that pretty fully a week or two ago. You're going to be persecuted when you live your life in such a way that you say, I heard God tell me to do this, and I felt God wanted me to do this. You're going to be persecuted. The Bible says all those that want to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Number four, you have to be attentive. Now, this is hard for people like me. Maybe some of you have ADD, and I haven't officially been diagnosed with that, but I feel like I have ADD. For example, this week I was out by the pool, and I was praying. And I said, God, I need to hear you. I need to know what you want me to do in these situations. I'm praying out by my pool, and I look down, and I see a bee in the water. And man, this little dude's going to town. And all of a sudden, I forget about my prayer, and I'm watching this bee going, whoa, he's probably been in there a while. That dude must have a set of lungs on him or something. And I watched him, and I thought, well, he's given up now. And he started, just doing his wings again. And I go, whoa. And I watched him. And I finally thought, what would Jesus do? And I thought, I'd probably save him. Now, keep in mind, I'm deathly allergic to bees, really a lot. And so I took and went over and got my flip-flop, and I reached in there and got him, put him on the shore. And all of a sudden, he started flying. He got up and started flying and flew toward me. So I took my flip-flop, hit him, knocked him out of the air, and then took my other flip-flop, and I stepped on him and smashed him. And that was a real God lesson. God saved me to kill me, huh? And so, but I was distracted. That's the point. I got distracted, and I forgot what I was praying about. So we have to teach ourselves to be attentive. We got to train ourselves to be attentive. For people like me, that's not easy, but we can do it. And number five, if we really want to hear God's voice, we must be willing to do what He says to do. Oh man, I know that's one thing that I tell God very often. When I need to hear Him on a subject, I usually say something like this. I say, God, You know me. You have tested me and You've tried me. God, You know that I will do anything You tell me to do. I mean, God, if You tell me and You confirm to me that it's You, You know I'll do it. Look at my history. And I kind of use that, I guess, to manipulate God. I don't want to look at it that way, but I try to tell Him I will do whatever He tells me to do. I've given away a house. I've given away a car because He told me to do it. I mean, I have that boast, and I want you to have it too. Sixth thing is, if you want to hear God's voice, be holy. Cleanse yourself from habitual sin. In this coronavirus, we're learning things as we go. We're watching how this virus moves. We're watching how this virus attacks people and what it does to them. And we're learning as we go. Well, in the Christian life, it's the same thing. I've learned as I've went. And I know one thing, and I know it for sure, that if you're living habitual sin, God will not speak to you. And I don't say that to condemn you, but to motivate you. Look at Isaiah 59 and 2. In the NIV, it says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear you. And if He doesn't hear you, then you're certainly not going to hear Him. If you're shacking up with someone and living an immoral life, you're never going to hear God. It just isn't going to happen until you get holy and repent. If you're dating and living in adultery, and you're sleeping with someone, God, you're never going to hear God. I'm sorry, but He will not speak to you. And it could be an issue concerning life and death. You need to hear God. If you're a drunkard and you're getting drunk all the time, God's not going to speak to you. If you have a porn habit. Now, I'm not saying that to condemn you. I don't bring you to church to condemn you. I'm trying to motivate you. Get free from your sin, that sin that's so easily addicting you. Repent of your sin. And we'll always have sin in our life, yes, but I'm talking about that ongoing sin, that one that you know is wrong. God has told you it's wrong. Repent of it and get back in God's fellowship where you can hear His voice. That's very, very important. Now, I want to end our time together today by giving you four things that will help you hear the voice of God. And the first one is this right here. What is the opinion of godly people in your life? See, in James, he tells us that if we're sick, we're to call for the elders of the church and have them anoint us with oil and pray over us. And then he goes on to say in that passage in James that the fervent prayer of a righteous person will accomplish much. Now, very often, people have asked me the question, Ron, why do I have to go to the elders to be prayed for? Aren't my prayers good enough? Oh, your prayers are good enough. All of our prayers are pretty equal in the fact that we all have an audience with God. But I think what might be being said here in James is that elders represent men and of course deaconesses, women, men and women leaders in the church who, for a lifestyle, their job, their career, the way they live, they're able to be in tune with God more than you are, because you work 40 hours a week at the factory over here. You're busy with the hustle and bustle. These elders, I think, that are represented in James here, they're people who are symbolic of people who are in tune with God. Their lifestyle makes it easier for them to be in tune with God. And they're probably going to hear things that maybe you wouldn't hear. And so I think that's one of the reasons. There's other reasons, but that's one reason why you're to call for the elders of the church. Now, it is so advantageous to us, for all of us, to have some godly close friends. Now, when you're needing wisdom and you're needing to hear from God and you're needing to make a decision and you think you're hearing from God and you want it to be confirmed, you have to consider that a lot of people's going to have an opinion on what you should do. In other words, you feel like God's telling you to move to Idaho. And you feel like God's possibly saying that to you. Well, if you start sharing that with friends, your hairdresser's going to have an opinion. Bubba at work's going to have an opinion. Your friends, everybody's going to have an opinion on it. But you don't want just someone's opinion. You want to know what God's saying. And one of the best ways to confirm what he's saying is to have some godly people in your life that really know God, know how to hear his voice, and go to them and see what they think about it. If they all think you're off the wall, that you're doing something wrong, that's a bad decision, then probably you're not hearing God. For example, when I first was diagnosed with leukemia and the doctor said I only had a few years to live, I started seeking God, and I felt that God was telling me that I was going to live through this, that I wasn't going to die of it. And so one of the first things I did is I called Doug and Vicki Lohman, because I really, really trust their walk with God. And I said, pray for me. I think I'm hearing God, but I'm not sure. And I'll never forget, Doug and Vicki called back in a day or two and said, hey, we went before the Lord with your situation. And Vicki said, Ron, I felt God was just chuckling and laughing and smiling. And he said, Ron's going to be okay. He's not going to die of this. And Doug said, I was feeling the same thing. And so I felt that was confirmed through them and two or three other things. There was much more to the confirmation than that, but that was a starting point. So when you're trying to hear God and you feel like you are hearing him, one of the best ways to test that is go to some godly people in your life. Go to your pastors, elders, and say, what do you think about it? And if they say, we all think it's bad, then you probably didn't hear God. And if they confirm it, then more likely you did hear God. Now, look at these verses, Proverbs 11, 9. It says, with his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Look at Proverbs 19, 20. Listen to the counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Look at 12, 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. And then 18, 15. To show partiality to the wicked is not good, nor to thrust aside the righteous in judgment. 15:22, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. See, gang, we weren't made to do life alone. Now, I'm not saying to you that you're to come to us to hear God's voice for you. Don't write me tomorrow saying, Pastor Ron, I need to hear God's voice on this. What is he saying to me? No, I'm not to hear God for you. You're to hear God, but I can serve sometimes as a confirmation whether what you're hearing is from God or might not be from God. So don't ask these godly people to hear God for you, but ask them to be confirmations maybe to what he is possibly saying to you. So get some godly people in your life. Start attending small groups or Man Cave or MOPS. We have a lot of programs, but every one of you, it might be life or death for you to have some godly people in your life that'll confirm things for you in the spirit realm. That leads me to number two. Does whatever you're hearing that you think is God, does it line up with God's written word? Now, we talked a little bit about this last week. Look at Luke 21, 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. See, If someone comes up to me and says, you know what, God told me it's okay to sleep with my girlfriend, I will tell them, you did not hear God. Because the word of God says that that's fornication and adultery, and you can't do it. Someone says, well, you know, I think God told me that I don't have to forgive them. Well, you're wrong because of the word of God. I think God told me to marry this non-believer. You're wrong because the word of God says not to be unequally yoked. As I said earlier, I think it's okay. God says it's okay to abort this baby. Never, ever, ever would God say that was okay. And I could go on and on and on. Does it line up with God's word? Now I'm going to take you to a third one within these two, and that is I want you to look at James 3:17. This is a really important verse. This is a third principle that comes within the two here. But it's the wisdom from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, it's gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy. Now, this is the grid through which you can test every word you think you're getting from God. Put it through this grid right here. First of all, you say, God, I think I'm hearing you. And I want to make sure I'm hearing you, God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to James 3:17 and run it through the grid right now. And the first thing is it pure? Now that word in the Greek means undiluted, unmixed, unpolluted. It's not convoluted. It's simple, powerful, to the point. It doesn't leave any doubts in the mind. For example, when I heard God tell me finally through many confirmations, one of which was Doug and Vicki Lohman, once I heard him say, you will not die of leukemia, I was 100% convinced. I mean, I knew I heard God and I knew I wouldn't die. I was able to, man, take that word to the bank and deposit it, man. I knew I had that confidence that comes when God speaks. Now, if someone comes to me and says, I heard God speak to me about something. Okay, what's he saying? Well, it's hard to explain. You know, it's kind of like this, kind of like that. I'll say to him, you didn't hear God yet. You didn't hear God. Because that's not pure. That's not undiluted. That's not unmixed. That's too convoluted. God doesn't speak that way. You got to go back and pray some more. Next, is the word that you think you're hearing from God, is it peaceable? Is there peace with it? Look at Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3. It says, the steadfast of mind you'll keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ be the umpire or rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. See, this is one way I can test a word whether it's from God or not. When I go to prayer every day, does it continue to be there, the peace of God in regards to that word? When I pray about the issue that I think I heard God on, does the peace of God get stronger and stronger and stronger? See, it says the peace of God acts as an umpire in your life. It helps us. Years ago, I was invited to become the pastor of a large church in Los Angeles. And I'll never forget, Debbie and I went down there to speak a Sunday or two because their pastor had died in an accident. And after speaking a Sunday or two, they said, we want you to come and leave Bakersfield and be our pastor. And it was really a hard decision. And so after a Sunday or two, we were praying. And I went to Debbie. I said, Debbie, I want to do it because they're offering me a lot bigger salary than I'm getting here. And the people were so gracious. I tried to tell the people the reasons why they might not want me. I said, for example, you speak in tongues a lot. I don't speak in tongues. And they go, oh, we can give that up. No problem. We don't have speaking tongues. I said, well, I'll try another one. I said, you all dress in suits. I don't wear suits. I dress like this. Oh, we don't like suits anyway. We'll just start dressing like you. And it was getting really hard, but I told Debbie, I don't have the peace of God about it. I just don't have the peace. And I turned it down on the basis of that. See, I have never known really a time in my life that when I had the peace of God over a period of time, that I was wrong when I pursued something that I thought God said to me. But I also likewise really believe that there's been many times in my life when I didn't have the peace of God at all about an issue, that had I went on forward and did whatever I was thinking about doing, or if I went ahead and said what I was thinking about saying, Without that peace in my heart, I would have failed. And so that's really, really, really important. Next, gentle. Whatever God's saying to you, is it harsh or is it gentle? Because God's nature is gentle. The next one is reasonable. And I'll say more about that in a moment. The next one is it full of mercy and good fruits? In other words, will it produce something that's helpful to you and others? Is it edifying? You got to think, if I obey this word that I think I'm hearing from God, will it build people up? And then it says, is it unwavering? In other words, it won't go away. When God speaks to you, see, the devil tries to push you into something. He tries to make you act quickly. When God's speaking to you, he guides you gently. And that word that you feel you're hearing from God, it's there day and night, day and night, day and night. It's unwavering. And then the last thing it says in James here, it ends those different traits, describing what the wisdom of God is in those different traits. It ends it up by summarizing it and saying, it's without hypocrisy. In other words, if you do all the things that I've just mentioned, if you run all your decisions through that grid, you'll be living without hypocrisy. See, God won't tell you to do something that's hypocritical. If God gives you a word, he won't give you a word that involves cheating someone, because that'd be hypocritical to who you say you are. You're a Christian. Christians don't cheat people. He won't give you a word that says that you're to do someone else wrong. He won't give you a word that says someone else will get the short end of the stick if you do what I'm telling you to do. None of those are probably real words from God. That's not wisdom coming from above. See, let me give you some examples. Let's say that you're seeking God for wisdom and you hear God say to you not to be in business with a non-believer. That's scriptural. And you've got yourself in a mess. Now, what you wouldn't do is go to that non-believer and say, hey, you know what, dude? God told me not to be in business with you. So today I'm quitting. I'm packing my stuff up. I'm getting out of here. And the non-believer looks at you and says, but what about our customers? What about our finances? I mean, how can you do this? Now, God might have told you to not be a business with this guy, but if you run it through this grid here of God's wisdom, you'll do it in a different way. You might go in and say, hey, God's told me I can't be in business with you any longer, and maybe in the next 3 months I need to pull out, so let's divvy up our customers and let me get a bank loan to make the finances right with you. Otherwise, if you do it wrongly, what's that non-believer going to think of your God? And so you run it through the grid. Another example is, you know, God told me to go tell the boss that my brother Christian over there that works with me is showing up late every day and I need to go tell the boss. Well, I don't think God told you to go tell the boss, but God might have said something like this, reprove your brother because he's sinning. And so you run it through the grid, you're going to do it totally different than maybe you would have done it. And I could go on and on and on. Now, listen to me closely. I like this word that we are to live without hypocrisy. And I like the fact that James uses that word to describe this grid that we're running the rhemas of God through. In Romans 12, we're told that our love is to be sincere without hypocrisy. Now, God's rhemas will always have that nature to them. Let's look at this word hypocrisy or sincere. In the Greek. This word sincere in the Greek comes from the Latin word sinecera, and it's S-I-N-E-C-E-R-E, sinecera. See, in the ancient days, a lot of the guys who sold potteries out in the street, they would take these pieces of pottery that were secondhand pieces of pottery, or they were rejects from the factory. They would take these pieces of pottery that had been broken, maybe in the process of being manufactured or whatever. And these cracked pieces of pottery, what they would do is they would melt wax in the cracks and put them together in such a way that you couldn't see the cracks. And they would sell these pieces of pottery as, you know, the legitimate deal. They'd say, this is the real deal. This is great pottery and it'll last for a lifetime. People would buy some of these pieces of pottery, take them home, put them in the windowsill, the hot sun would shine down, the wax would melt, and it'd fall apart. And because this practice had become pretty common in a lot of areas in the old world. They came to a place where I'm told they used to take a stamp, and they would stamp on the piece of pottery, they would stamp sine sera. That means it's without wax. And much the way that we put on food products today, we put a stamp on there, a seal, 100% pure, all natural, certified organic. In other words, you can count on this being the real deal. So as Christians, God says, whenever I speak to you and give you wisdom and tell you to walk in such a way, it'll always be in light of being the real deal. In other words, I'd never ask you to do something that would be hypocritical to what you say you stand for. I would never ask you to do something that would be incongruent with what a believer is. For example, and as I read through some of these this week, I became convicted myself. If I tell someone I will pray for them, and I have no intention of praying for them, I'm a hypocrite. If I tell someone, call me anytime, just anytime, then when we see their number come up, we purposely don't answer it, that's being a hypocrite. If I act like I'm listening to someone in conversation when my mind's somewhere else, and I'm smiling and nodding, see, that has a bit of hypocrisy to it. So God says, you know what? I want your love for others to be sincere. I want it to be without hypocrisy. And so in line with that, I would never tell you to do anything that would come against your character that identifies with being one of God's kids. And so if you think that God is speaking to you, make sure that what he is saying to you is pure, peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, full of grace, and it's congruent with his nature. So run your rhemas through this grid. And the last one I can talk about, and I'm out of time, and I borrowed this one from Rick Warren, and that is, if you want to know if what God is saying to you is really from him, ask yourself the question, is it according to your shape? Now, Rick Warren says we all have a shape that we need to keep in mind when we do God's will. And shape stands for this. S stands for we've all received a spiritual gift. And the H in shape stands for our heart or our passion. The A in shape stands for our abilities. The P stands for our personality. And the E stands for our experiences. Now, Rick Warren, when he talked about this, he went over to a mic stand and he took a mic stand. He said, okay, now this thing was made for a purpose. And obviously by looking at it, you can tell its purpose is not to sit on it. That'd be very uncomfortable. Now this stool, in other words, it's made for the purpose of sitting on. See the big seat here? This is for sitting. And he went down the line, drawing people's attentions to several things that were in the building and their purpose for them. For example, the sanctuary. The purpose of the sanctuary is to come and congregate for a concert or for hearing the word preached or whatever. It's got comfortable seats. It's got air conditioning. It's got heating. This sanctuary is not constructed to play baseball in. And so we've got to know our purpose. Now, in other words, when you feel God saying something to you, you go, is that in line with my purpose? Is that in accordance with my shape? If somebody 5'2" comes up in the church and says, I've had a word from God, I'm going to go play in the NBA, you'd say, probably not. If someone came up and said, you know what, I feel like God's told me I'm going to be on The Voice, and this person can't carry a tune in a bucket, probably they're not hearing God. God told me I'm going to buy a yacht and you make minimum wage working here at Taco Bell. You know, probably God didn't tell you that. So God's words will usually go along with who he's made you to be, with your shape. And so I hope you got something out of this today, because this is the way you hear God. And I looked at the clock and I'm way over. I'm 8 minutes longer than what I wanted to be today. But if you're going to hear God, and you're going to learn how to hear God, first, ask yourself, what do the godly people say around me? Does it line up with God's word? Is it according to my shape? And how does it come across when I run it through the grid of James 3:17? And those things will help you hear God, and you'll have a better life because of it. I've got to go. I'm over time today. Tonight, we'll see some of you on the front lawn as we pray about revival. Others of you that want to come Tuesday night, I'll continue my God stories then. So I'll end by saying, see you here, there, in the air.
Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.